Old School Lame Casual Chats is brought to you by Old School Lame, producing various content from blogs, videos, and podcasts discussing about movies, TV shows, video games, and everything else in between since 2011. You can check out the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, Overcast, Breaker, Pocket Cast, and YouTube. We're associated with Channel Frederator, Manic Expression, The Comic Book Cast, and The Aaron Mehta Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Casual Chats. I am Patricia.
My name is Aaron.
So today we're going to be discussing about another classic British TV series. So if you remember a few months ago, we discussed about Father Ted. So this time we're going to go a few decades back around 1975, in which we're going to be talking about the BBC's Fawlty Towers, which, as of the recording of this podcast, just recently celebrated its 45th anniversary.
Yeah, it's incredible that it's so much time has passed in regards to this. And by the way, we still have John Cleese here to this day as well, who recently tweeted out about a particular president that we don't particularly like. So he's still commenting out there and giving his point of view. But I mean, obviously, we're not here to talk about John Cleese today. We're here to talk about John Cleese back in the day. So I believe the way it all started out is that he just got off doing Monty Python, and I guess he was looking at what was going to be the next big thing, and he unbelievably found himself at a place called the Glen Eagles Hotel, which is a place down in the south near Torquay. So he apparently had this dinner here, and apparently he had a few other people there with him as well, and he came across, I believe, Donald Sinclair, who I believe was the owner of the Glen Eagles Hotel. And apparently he was probably the worst hotel owner he probably ever seen.
What was it like? Like, what did he do to him that made him, like, the worst hotel owner?
Well, if we discuss Fawlty Towers, I think we'll get an idea of what he's like. So, Donald Sinclair, apparently, according to John Cleese himself, said that he is basically a blueprint for our character, sort of title character, Basil Fawlty. He basically is a hotel owner, a very frustrated one as of that, and he's just basically frustrated in his social status as a someone who's climbed up from, I guess you could say, a working class background into what basically is now Middle England. And so he's now got this, he now owns this hotel out in Torquay in the south of England. And so he's basically, the hijinks come from basically right off on the first episode, where he feels like he's dealing with a clientele that he'd rather not deal with. He'd rather deal with more and more upper class. You know, he's basically someone trying to be in the snob world, if you will. You know, so that's
I think that a lot of people from Monty Python were, you know, putting in their ideas about, like, okay, we have this basis for this hotel manager. Now, what can we do that we can be able to up the ante? I think that there was, like, some mention about, like, Terry Gilliam, where he was saying, like, the table etiquette of, you know, the people who were in the hotel were, like, too fancy. And there was even, like, this one gag about, like, oh, you know, there's a bomb that is going to be threatening the hotel. And I think that was Eric Idle's idea or something. So, you know, they were putting in, like, their little bits here and there for this show. So basically the show Fawlty Towers was created by both Cleese and his wife at the time, Connie Booth, who actually does play a character in the show. She, I mean, although, you know, she doesn't play his wife, which is played by another
Peruna Scales.
Yeah, Peruna Scales, yeah. So I thought that was pretty interesting, but nonetheless. So essentially, you know, kind of like similar to, you know, Father Ted that we talked about last time. So essentially we have, you know, we have these four main characters, except that in, unlike Father Ted, in which there were three men and one woman, now we have two women and two men. So we essentially have, you know, Basil Fawlty and his wife, Sybil, and we have Polly, who, you know, does, like, all the bookkeeping and all that kind of stuff. And then we have, like, the main maitre d', Manuel. And the joke of Manuel is that he can only speak Spanish.
Yeah. And not only that, we kind of learn he's a bit of a nitwit as well in regards to like how he carries himself. But, you know, the joke is that, and also this was kind of a thing at the time, like he was basically cheap to hire at the time, and he was willing to come all the way from Barcelona in order to do it. So, and interestingly enough, though, that in the main series, he was actually Spanish, and he was portrayed as, like, you know, coming from basically the General Franco, you know, Spain at the time, and who was basically a fascist ruler of Spain at the time, and but amazingly that in other variations of Fawlty Towers, in other dubs, and I can't remember exactly which ones they are. I imagine I think in the Spanish dub that they finally did a long time afterwards, is that apparently Manuel is not Spanish in that version. He's actually Italian. He actually comes from Milan. So, so the jokes play out differently in the Spanish version. I think in very other versions as well. I think he's actually other nationalities. I think basically just to, you know, obviously because I think there's particular countries that they all make fun of, I think, in regards to that. So I think in variations of dubs, I think he's actually a different character. But in the main one that we're talking about today, in the English version, the one that's made in Jolly Old Blight, he is basically a Spanish cock-up in this. And so... he's, you know, he can't speak English to save, or he can speak some English. You can see one of his character, he's actually one of the very few characters that actually evolved through the series, because he actually, as he goes through from like season 1 to season 2, his English actually starts to get better as it goes along. And so you can tell that he's trying to learn and he's trying to get better at it, but unfortunately he's still a fool who basically can't do the basics of being either a butler or basically being a hand within the hotel business. So.
Yeah, basically. So, I'm actually curious. How did you first get introduced to this show?
So, I mean, here's the thing about this. Fawlty Towers really has been a crown jewel in the BBC programming. So, in a way, it's not really ever kind of gone away. It's always come back in some way, shape, or form. So, in the 90s, I was introduced to it as this show that came on about like 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, and when I was staying up later to watch TV. And it became, funnily enough, a kind of a family gathering of us watching Fawlty Towers. You know, we would just laugh at everything that was going on. Because I think for younger generations as well, it was easy to kind of grasp towards, because not only was it humor of like, you know, ha ha ha, there's a joke and things like that. Like the physical comedy in it as well was quite hilarious. I mean, the bits where, you know, when Basil Fawlty in one episode ends up with a concussion, you know, you can see like how he ends up getting to that and being whacked in the head with a frying pan and being knocked around and everything like that. Like the physical humor and the physical comedy in this show is very part of it as much as the narrative is. And so I think that's the reason why people like myself back in the day, and you know, reason why you know it grasped the universal audience at the time.
Yeah. Now, just like with Father Ted, I had never seen this show until you said, hey, have you ever seen this show? I'm like, no, let's watch it. Okay.
But the difference between this and Father Ted is that I think this show, even though we are going to see a lot of politically incorrect stuff in this show, I think I would definitely say that you could get away with putting a family in front of the show more than you can with Father Ted. I think we can definitely say
that. I mean, not to say that Fawlty Towers has no politically incorrect stuff, because it does. It has probably just as much of it as Father Ted. Although I think Father Ted is a little bit more, which, I mean, here's the thing. I can excuse Fawlty Towers because it came out in the 70s. And I can see, okay, like, this was back when they were still kind of pushing it. They didn't care about, oh, you know, we were going to offend somebody. So I can understand that for Fawlty Towers. As for Father Ted, it came out in the 90s, and you're already going through a lot of controversy as it is by making fun of a huge religious figure.
Yeah.
So
I think the difference between Fawlty Towers, though, the humor in Fawlty Towers and the humor in Father Ted. Father Ted was really more just kind of like poking fun at the fact that the Catholic Church is so out of touch with reality, you know, where in regards to social commentary and everything else. So that's the reason why they could probably get rid of, they could get away with it, really, in regards to the political incorrectness in that show. But in regards to Fawlty Towers, you know, the humor that's there, it is a product of its time, unfortunately. I think.
Yeah, I would say very similar to Father Ted. with Fawlty Towers, I mean, just go in knowing that there's going to be some stuff that was not appropriate, you know, for today's standards. So just want to let you know that. But yeah, I think you're right. It is a bit of an easier watch than Father Ted because, you know, oh, it's a story about a guy running a hotel. That's funny. So yeah, I mean, like, if you can think about, like, all the situations about, like, oh, you know, these people are working at this job, and this is all the funny situations that happen. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if something like The Office or Parks and Rec were heavily influenced from something like Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, but it's not just the fact that he's a guy running a hotel. It's the fact that this guy is such a, you know, he just looks down upon people. He is so frustrating to deal with in regards to, like, being someone who's supposed to be providing, you know, basically a public service to people, you know, giving them, you know, basically providing a hotel service to them and not making them feel like he doesn't make them feel like they're guests in a hotel. He makes them feel like they're, you know, inmates in a prison. It's like, oh, you know, I've got to do this for this guy, and, like, you know, I don't want to do that. It's like, it's
the only time in which he would care is if it's like a upper class citizen or something.
Yeah, he's like, unless he's got like a an objective to achieve with that particular guest, he's not gonna, like, for example, the one with the hotel critics. Like, when he fell for that, oh, there's some hotel inspectors going around, you know, checking out the places. And when he thinks that he's actually got one in his midst, like, all of a sudden he becomes the center of attention. Everyone else can basically go away in regards to that. Like, he's the guy he wants to please. So you can see the objectives in that. And same thing with Gourmet Night. You know, remember that when the chef, you know, gets drunk in the kitchen. And so he goes above and beyond trying to save the Gourmet Night. And so he drives out to go to a restaurant and go and get some food, and then obviously, you know, hijinks ensue all of that. So, I mean, the with our main character, with John Cleese playing Basil Fawlty, you can tell where his motivations are. You can tell where he is as a character. Like, he looks down upon the people that he sees as scum, and he basically looks after the people who thinks who's gonna basically get him ahead. You know,
yeah,
in society.
So- Yeah, so basically, here's the rundown of what an episode of Fawlty Towers looks like. So, you know, we have Basil Fawlty, who's constantly complaining that, you know, he has to do stuff around the hotel, whether he has to organize something, whether he has to help pay a bill or take care of a customer. And Sybil, who is his wife, is basically saying, you know, take care of this, do that. And then we have Polly, who's, like, trying to make sure that everything is staying afloat, because she's not only, like, the bookkeeper, but she's also the waitress. She's also taking care of, like, the ins and outs of the restaurant. And then you have Manuel, who's, like, the maitre d', even though that he does not speak any English. At least he tries his best to, like, you know, carry the luggage upstairs and, you know, help with anything that they need. It's just that, you know, it just so happens to be led by a person who just doesn't care at all. This is a prime example about, like, okay, a hotel is supposed to be a place that you're going to for business or for pleasure, and you want to be treated comfortably, and you want to be treated with the utmost respect. You're going there to sleep for the night, you're going there for a nice meal, you're going there for a whole bunch of other amenities. And if the person who's running the place is a complete jerk, then you're not going to have a very good time. And I guess, you know, for a lot of people, that's like the joke. The joke is that this guy really hates his job, but he has no other choice but to run this hotel in the middle of nowhere. And he has to accommodate everybody who comes in, even though that he wishes that he wasn't there.
Yeah, so not only that, imagine being a guest at this place. Like, you know, you meet this hotel owner who does not care about you. You're then introduced to a someone who's helping there who doesn't understand English, and the only way you can basically get what you want with him or get on his friendly side is to actually speak his language, who's actually Spanish. Then you've got, obviously, you've got Polly, who is more interested in kind of, like, you know, and this is her character thing, like, interested in drawing and obviously, you know, investing in her business as an artist than she is actually kind of helping you out in any particular way. And, you know, it's just, it's... and then you got Mrs. Fawlty, who basically is just leads everything for Basil to deal with. And
yeah,
will only take responsibility for something when necessary, or when it's basically just kind of keep her reputation in check.
Exactly. Yeah. So everybody does not like their job in one shape or form. And they're the ones responsible. And here's the thing, like, I mean, we look at this place and it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere. And it's like, this is the only place for like maybe hundreds of miles or maybe by the nearest town that they can go to so that they can be able to get some rest and then they can go over and do the next thing.
Well, it is actually, I would say actually in the Gourmet Night episode, actually, it is suggested that, they actually don't even make a reference to like the hotel that this is based on, Glen Eagle. So with the elderly couple, that the two elderly women who are staying there as permanent residents of the hotel, they are told, oh, there's a, you go to Glen Eagles for your din-dins, and so they go down there instead rather than actually being there. So it's kind of insisted that there is like maybe one other hotel like in the vicinity, but I guess this, I don't know, actually it's interesting, the only way I could think of that is that makes Fawlty Towers, I guess, attractive, I guess, to the unfortunate guest who ends up in there, I guess, is the fact that either they have, like, an objective to be there. Like, for example, in the very first episode, there's Melbury, who's the confidence trickster, and he ends up in the hotel because, obviously, where he does his, his con artist trickery and everything like that is, like, near to where the hotel is. So, obviously, that's the reason why he uses that, is his kind of like his hideout, if you will, and does this whole confidence trick. And then, obviously, there's the reason why police officer who ends up in the first episode ends up staying there, which you don't really know he's a police officer. You just think he's just some guy from, from the working class side of London, then turns up. And then you find out that he's actually working for the special service. And his motivation to stay there is obviously to go get the so-called Lord Melbury. And so people there end up in like probably there for like the weirdest of reasons, I guess, and not necessarily the fact that they actually enjoy the company of the hotel. So there's always an ulterior motive for someone always staying. There's always another motive for someone always staying there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Now, unlike Father Ted, in which it's like 25 episodes long, this only lasted for 2 seasons. And, once again, very similar to what I was saying about Father Ted, it's like, oh, wow, you only have 6 episodes in like 1 season. So, go listen to that if you want to know more details about that. But this show actually lasted a lot shorter. It only lasted for 12 episodes, even though it ran for, 4 years?
Yeah, it did. And so, one of the reasons why it ended up so short, because obviously we have the first season, which is the first season, I think, is probably not as funny as I would say. I would say out of both the seasons, I'd say season two is probably the first.
Agree. Season two is definitely a major improvement over season one. It's kind of like how we said about Father Ted, in which like, okay, I can understand they were trying to get their footing in, they were trying to see, okay, what worked and what didn't. So I felt the same way.
Here's the thing, funny thing about this. In the second season, and this is the reason why the show never really went any further, because John Cleese and his wife at the time, who was playing Polly, were getting divorced, during the second season. So, I mean, obviously that's the reason why there was no season three, because obviously there was nightmare of dealing with that. But I guess you could say that this is one of the very few shows that you're kind of grateful that, because every episode, can we agree, is a classic, even though we prefer ones over others. But
sure. I mean, like, there were a lot of episodes that I thought were just absolutely hilarious. I mean, even though admittedly, let's just get this completely out of the way. Very similar into which I was talking about, like, you remember the Father Ted episode in which like there was really, really politically incorrect statements about the Chinese and like their representation? Well, let's talk about the Germans episode.
Yeah, and I was looking through IMDb, and surprisingly, this is actually the second favorite episode.
I'm not surprised, because guess what? The second favorite episode for Father Ted was the politically incorrect one about the Chinese.
Oh, yeah,
so,
there was.
Not
so
surprising.
Yeah, not surprising there. But, so this episode obviously does a play on the fact that these Germans are appearing here, and there's an international reputation now that Fawlty Towers could potentially have become. But unfortunately, his wife is in the hospital having bunion surgery, so obviously she can't be there to help. And so Basil Fawlty, unfortunately for everybody in the hotel, is left to his own devices and decides that he's going to rub his hands together and he's going to run things the way that he does. Now, before we even get to that bit, there is a scene where obviously we get an introduction to an African-American character who is obviously the doctor in the hospital.
And, I'm gonna let my listeners know, And please, you know, you have to remember that this was a different time. And even then, it was still, you know, not accepted. They do say the N-word.
Well, I mean, not in this part of the story. In this first act.
They're introduced to
the African doctor. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But in the first act, obviously there's a reaction because, oh my goodness, there's someone from the Afro-Caribbean community who's now like a doctor. And so Basil Fawlty's obviously never seen this before, and obviously it's a new thing for him. So obviously he reacts the way that he does. But he isn't racist towards him. He's just kind of like, oh wow, you know, like I've never seen this before. But obviously that is in its time. A different thing. So obviously that's what's kind of like, you can see that kind of what dates the show like quite a bit, because obviously it wasn't known at that time for like people of minorities to actually inherit these, always have these types of positions.
We saw with Manuel, who's from Spain, working at this hotel in England, then yeah, it would not be too much of a surprise that, you know, somebody who is of, you know, different race and culture will be working in England for, you know, something else. So yeah, I guess I could understand that for the 70s.
Yeah, he's working in hospitality. Like, but, you know, obviously being a doctor, I mean, Basil Fawlty, in his opinion, doesn't think, oh, that's not what I would have expected, you know, the doctor to look like. So obviously he reacts in the way that he does. So obviously it's not like today, where obviously there's lots of African doctors and there's lots of, doctors from other, cultures and minorities and things like that. Obviously, 2020 is a massive change from 1975 to 1979. But so obviously there's that happens. But obviously then we get to the situation where Basil Fawlty tries to run the hotel, ends up injuring himself because of all these hijinks that happen, and then ends up in hospital himself. And then but here's the funny thing about this, that obviously the doctor, he thinks he's got him all calm and like he got him to sleep and everything like that, and he takes everybody out of the room. Basil Fawlty quickly awakens and then gets dressed up in it. He mixes himself up in like his suit and his shrubs from like in the hospital, and then just kind of walks back in and tries to take over the hotel again, even though he's obviously concussed. And so obviously you can imagine it's how hilarious this whole thing's going to be. And this is at the time when the Germans turn up. So
Okay, so essentially you have to remember that this was like, 30 years after World War II ended. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm sure that, you know, maybe for a lot of countries, they were still feeling the stigma of like, okay, you're a German, you did this your dictator did this horrible, horrible, horrible thing to all of these people and was the main cause of World War II. So, you know, I'm not going to like you. I guess it's like if we were to do something like this for today's audience, it's like, Osama bin Laden, you know, you knocked down the World Trade Center. I don't like people who are of Middle East descent. So imagine doing an episode like that in which like you have Basil Fawlty, who essentially is like trying to do these really, really outdated statements to these,
I would actually disagree with you on that, because obviously by, even by 2000, I would say that we were somewhat of a healthy mix in regards. Obviously racism, I'm not saying racism wasn't a thing, but I wouldn't necessarily call that a healthy equivalent, I think, to what we had here. I think obviously we're in Europe, we're still in a situation, and keep in mind, Germany was still divided after the war, you know, like there was still East Germany and West Germany. So likelihood is the people who were coming from Germany at that time probably would have been West German rather than East German. So there was still a lot of fracturing that were happening in Europe at the time. So the idea still that, there'd be Germans like coming back and forth, especially to a place like Fawlty Towers, like, this small little plucky hotel like in Torquay. The fact that you would have international visitors from there probably would have been quite far-fetched at the time, I think.
Okay, what would you say that today's equivalent would be like?
I don't think they would have been. I don't think at that time. I think this is what makes the Germans episode so unique, because I don't think you could necessarily put another situation together here in modern times, I don't think. You know, like the only other thing I could probably think of is like if North Korea got like, it's like some kind of country like somewhere out there just kind of like got liberated and all of a sudden like their people could like travel. And so North Korea is the only one I could really think of. in this is because one of the characters, obviously, is the Major, who is one of the permanent residents of the hotel. And obviously, he was a guy who fought in the war. So, obviously, he doesn't like Germans very much because, of obviously, he has this prejudice towards them because, obviously, he fought them and, you know, in... And he thinks that they're still even bad to this day. And to be honest with you, like he wouldn't have been alone at that time because I'm sure there's a lot of people who would not have liked the Germans back at that time. I mean, keep in mind, it takes decades to obviously repair something that's you know as traumatic as this, you know, in regards to that. So, I mean, he plays off with that because obviously he's had some kind of experience, you know, fighting German soldiers, you know, on a battlefield. So obviously he carries that with him in that. And so, and also as well, like the Major at this time is obviously losing his mind at this point. Like, you know, he's old. He doesn't really, you know, grasp the reality that, you know, the modern day Britain of the 70s, if you could call it that at that time. So he's obviously a relic of his time who's living in a hotel, you know, to obviously see out the rest of his days. So obviously that's the reason why then we get to the controversy with the fact that he uses the N-word in this, and so he obviously there's some there's some play on like you know racial terms and things like that. And funnily enough though, like when there was this discussion about pulling down the Germans episode, obviously when Black Lives Matter became a thing, you know, became a thing after George Floyd, I think in regards to when they pulled the episode down, funnily enough, only just a couple of decades ago, they'd actually redid that episode. So they actually took that scene out from, like, because if you buy the DVD version of the Fawlty Towers episode, obviously you get that scene, but there's actually other variations of the Germans episode that actually exclude that scene. So it's they just take it out, and obviously it's seamless, so you don't really kind of, like, miss it or anything like that. So, obviously, there's that, and then we get to the situation where Basil Fawlty is obviously concussed. He doesn't know really what the hell's going on, and he thinks that none of the Germans speak English, or that he thinks he can speak, he can get by with speaking German, and so he mistakes one of them asking to hire a car for going out to get some meat, and so obviously then he does this kind of this hilarious charades. If you all are saying that, oh, you know, we got meat here in the building. And and then you get the next bit, which is he assumes that none of them can speak English, but then obviously he shucks them doing that. And so he tells everybody not to mention the war, and he ends up speaking about it anyway. So yeah, he brings it up a number of times.
That's actually a very famous quote, you know, for this series. It's like, whenever you think of it, it's like, don't mention the war is actually like, you know, one of the quotes that everybody mentioned about Fawlty Towers.
Well, it was one they used to tell England fans before, obviously, they thought, you know, they decided to, you know, to take on the German national football team. So it was something that was obviously warned about England fans not to talk about it, you know, when football was being discussed. So don't mention the war has actually been a saying that's quite famous, you know, in regards to, like, you know, how to deal with the Germans. But in regards to this episode, obviously, this is what pioneered that statement. But Basil Fawlty, you know, starts mentioning it out, but then he just kind of like just loses the plot entirely and decides to go on to talking about how, you know, her husband's in a German bomber, and then she, you know, obviously the woman on the thing breaks down because obviously she remembers horrible times when the war happened and everything like that. And keeping this in mind, like, you know, a lot of women, you know, when they were invaded by, when they invaded Berlin, a lot of women actually were victims of sexual assault by soldiers in that. So, I mean, obviously that obviously plays into this upsetting scene that is there. So, obviously, you know, Polly tries her best to try and get Basil Fawlty to do Jimmy Cagney. Obviously, he's not going to do that. So, and that's when we get the famous goose-stepping scene where he's obviously...
Oh my goodness.
It's an iconic scene. It's like, and I say it actually is still funny because you mean like it's amazing how John Cleese can just like get his foot like just so far up in the air, and so like he's goose stepping like, and his head and his legs just like go right above his forehead, and just like he just marches out of the restaurant, and then just goes into the lobby, and then goes back again. And the whole place is just laughing, and, you know, just it's amazing how it was that. So, it is controversial. I'm not going to disagree with that. But, you know, some of it is actually really funny. And it is actually one of the best Fawlty Towers episodes.
I would say it's a little bit of an easier, somewhat of an easier watch than the Father Ted episode. I'll just let you know that.
So
somewhat.
Yeah. So, although maybe, shall we talk about some of the episodes? Because I think we're kind of like already getting into that already.
Sure.
And so, my favorite episode has to be the Kipper and the Corpse. And so it's when, obviously there's a businessman who's coming to town, and then he dies during his sleep. And obviously they think they've killed him at one point with the kippers. And so they end up trying to hide the kippers around, and then he hides it in his jacket, and the doctor spots it and says, "What's that?" He's like, "Oh, that's a bit of it. That's the bit of the breakfast." And so they realize that he's actually died during the night and actually not died eating the kippers. And so you have to watch some of these episodes we're going to describe. You have to watch them just to enjoy them. Like, I don't think it's much use. And we will tell you about a couple of episodes which we would suggest if you ever come across them. But yeah, so the Kipper and the Corpse, the whole thing, that ends up being they have to hide the corpse somewhere. They have to hide the body somewhere. So they end up hiding it in like different guest rooms. And then the guests keep coming back to go into their rooms. And obviously that all comes out. So they end up having to put it in the kitchen. And so they can't do that because the doctor's telling them, "Oh, you can't put it out there because it's a hygiene issue." And then obviously it ends up in a laundry hamper, and then the laundry hamper gets taken away by the laundry people in a truck. So they have to stop the truck, and they have to take that off, and then they realize it's not inside. Oh, it's just it's a hilarious chase scene. Really,
it is hilarious. Like, it goes just completely all over the place with everything that's been going on. I wouldn't be surprised. Do you remember the health inspector episode from SpongeBob? I wouldn't be surprised if whoever wrote that episode was heavily involved with Fawlty Towers when watching this, because they think that they killed the health inspector, and then what they would do is that they would try to like bury him. They try to hide him in the Krusty Krab and all that kind of stuff. So. I wouldn't be, and also, they thought that he was a fake health inspector. So it kind of reminds me of, both the episode, the hotel inspectors and the Kipper and the Corpse. So I wouldn't be surprised if, they were able to take like little liberties of that. So,
yeah. Well, Basil the Rat was obviously the final episode, and that involved the health inspector. So obviously there was that episode. Maybe they might, I don't know if they might take an episode, so I'm not too sure.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm-hmm. So obviously we've gone through the Germans, the Kipper and the Corpse, and here's the thing about this, there are some episodes that are like not preferred as much as like the other one. So obviously the least favorite episode, and I think I agree with everybody, this is the Waldorf Salad episode, which involves the
episode. Basically it involves with like the American who's constantly demanding, "Oh, I want better food than this," and so Basil's like, "Okay, I'm not going to tolerate any of your crap."
Okay, but here's the thing about this, do you notice that the audience was actually kind of flat in that episode?
I noticed that. They weren't laughing as much.
But here's the thing about this. Apparently, according to them, what happened is that some guests came in and they wanted to watch a BBC production. So, and they were from Iceland. So obviously their humor is quite different from obviously, in England. So they sat them in the audience to kind of like watch the episode. So they were just kind of like watching away whilst everyone else was laughing. So it was really a very soft episode. And so it wasn't as interactive as the other one, as basically the other episodes were. So that's the reason why, and also the Waldorf episode, really, I didn't really find much enjoyment in, really, is in regards to
it was just like constant bickering over and over again. It was essentially like the same joke being played out, where it was just like, "I don't like the way that this is served, I want a Waldorf salad," which, here's the thing, like, we were talking about in Father Ted, about the, what was it, the cream salad dressing or something like that, and I was like, "Aaron, what is that?" And then you explained to me what it was. And then I think when we were watching that episode, you were telling me, you didn't know what a Waldorf salad was. And so I had to explain it to you. So, so basically, for our listeners out there who don't know what a Waldorf salad is. So a Waldorf salad is a salad that consists of mixed greens, apples, celery, grapes, walnuts, and if you want chicken in it, you can have chicken in it, but for the most part it's just it's essentially a fruit salad with mixed greens in a mayonnaise like salad dressing. So that is what Waldorf salad is, for any of our European listeners out there who don't know what that is.
And I'm probably gonna imagine all the Fawlty Towers fans probably all know what a Waldorf salad is anyway. So
fair enough. Yeah, but I mean, if they know it from that episode, but not as like in general.
Yeah, surprisingly, one thing I've noticed actually by the way, I'm getting this all from IMDb, so I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people who in the comments are going to disagree. But apparently, the third least liked episode apparently is The Builders. and which is the one where obviously there's this obviously goes on a bit of a probably a racial joke as well. There's like it was a thing at the time that Irish builders were not as reliable as like other builders, so obviously Basil hires like these guys to like remodel the hotel, and so they end up doing the whole thing completely wrong, and so Basil Fawlty lies about it and say that some other builder did it, and so that's a pretty unliked episode, I guess, from some sections of people, but sure.
If Irish people felt insulted with it, then I can see that.
I could probably see that too. Yeah. Other episodes include so the other one is the anniversary, and this is the one where Polly actually has to play Basil Fawlty's wife because Basil had Sybil thinking that he'd forgotten all about their anniversary, and so she ended up kind of driving away, and Basil realized, oh no, I've got this whole party that I had planned for as a surprise. So obviously that all plays out the way it does. And you know what, actually, there is a moment in that episode where you think, oh wow, like this anniversary episode is actually like episode 5 in the second season. So yeah, you would have thought that maybe, what is this actually playing out to like be the final episode of like the of when you really think about it, because the best way to end the Fawlty Towers series basically be like Sybil's finally left Basil because Basil's just kind of like completely lost his mind and everything like that. I guess maybe they probably played it right by having Basil the Rat as like the final episode, because obviously that means like the hotel's now going to finally get shut down.
Here's the thing. I mean, now we don't know about what the production order of these episodes are. I mean, if they actually release it, like, okay, this was the first episode.
Well, I've got the codes right here. Like, there's S2E1 is obviously communication problems, which is like the first episode. Oh, by the way, it was a really hilarious first episode for the season 2. Mm-hmm. With Mrs. Richards, and by the way, Mrs. Richards, who played the actress who played that, she was actually really nervous about it, and she was really worried that she was going to basically not do as well with it, but you can tell in it that she is very well placed playing this kind of this stuck up elderly woman who won't take no for an answer, and will demand like the highest quality of everything. So if anything, she's kind of like Basil Fawlty's foil in some way, like is seeing into a mirror, if anything. So that's a hilarious episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess maybe the reason why they didn't do that anniversary episode, maybe it was kind of like laying it a bit too personal for John Cleese and Connie Booth, because they were going through a divorce, and they thought, okay, maybe Basil the Rat can be our last episode, knowing that we are going to...
I think maybe because Basil the Rat ended up being the last episode, because obviously it means... obviously they would have failed the hotel inspection, so they would have shut the place down. So obviously that would naturally would have been the final episode of the show. So... by the way, maybe this point might be a good thing to kind of end on, really, but some people are going to be asking, like, where is the actual physical hotel? Because you can see that they actually filmed places out of it. So apparently it was a country club that existed, like, in the south of England. And unfortunately, about a couple of years later, it was actually abandoned, and then someone burned it down.
Oh, so, that's a shame.
Yeah, and now it's a housing development. Polly, what have you done with my hotel?
So it's a department where people are trying to look for homes now.
Yeah, so unfortunately, well, it's not even that anymore. It's been totally flattened out, and it's now just a bunch of houses. So a part of comedy history has now just basically been completely lost, which is a bit of a shame. So there's also obviously being, it is a very very camp show as well, because there's times where you can see like there's actually Goose, you can see one episode, I can't remember exactly which one it is, but there's actually a minute where you can actually see the boom microphone underneath, and they have to like lift it up.
I think we actually did pointed that out when we were watching it. It's like, there's the boom microphone.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, I understand, it's going on live in front of a studio audience, and it's
it's kind of charming in a way. Maybe they thought, because obviously the what you see, and you keep this in mind as well. The screen format of the DVD. Mm-hmm. They actually give you more visual over what that, because keep in mind, you know, all TVs back in the 70s, like, I mean, they were like curved screens, like that had like, you know, indents across the, like across the top and across the sides. So the likelihood is you probably would not have seen that section of the screen back in the day. But
it's kind of like how I know that some shows that were originally in black and white, if you try to color them, you get to notice details that you didn't notice the first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, when obviously things were being taken off like TV film and put into a digital format, obviously that then changed like the format of the screen. So, while it's still in 4:3, I mean, you still get to see like all the edges of the screen. So maybe they probably looked at that and thought, oh, well, there's no reason to kind of like take it out, because obviously when they see it on TV, it won't actually be there back in the day.
True.
Obviously now we can see it. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, now I'm actually curious. I mean, you know, what would have happened if, you know, John and Connie weren't going through like their major, you know, their major divorce. Like, what do you think a season 3 of Fawlty Towers would have been, knowing that, okay, in season 3...
I don't know, like, given the fact that this is the thing about this, and this is what I usually argue. I mean, yes, I get we only get 6 hours and 14 minutes out of this show. I will admit that. But isn't it an enjoyable ride? You know, just watching it all. I don't know, like, would I say that, you know, Fawlty Towers could have got any better than that? I mean, I was listening to John Cleese when he was doing an interview about this, and apparently one episode that they scrapped was the fact that they were gonna have an episode where Manuel goes back to Spain and brings Basil Fawlty with him. And then there's a situation on the plane where the plane gets high. There's obviously all this chaos at the airport, and Basil Fawlty is just kind of like glad to just finally get on the plane. And then the plane gets hijacked by a terrorist. And and so keep in mind, this is 1970s, everybody. So, but then while that all goes on, Basil Fawlty is just so sick and tired of like all the shit that he has to deal with. He actually goes, wrestles the terrorist, grabs the gun out of his hand, and he then all the people on the plane just applaud him and think he's a hero. But then the captain decides, okay, well, what's happened? We're going to circle around to go back to the airport. But then Basil Fawlty points the gun at everybody. He says, no, we are going to Spain, and that is the final thing. So they're all forced to go to Spain. And in the end credits, Basil Fawlty is like pulled away by the Spanish police in handcuffs.
Oh my God.
Because Basil Fawlty, I ended up hijacking the plane and actually drives it and demanding it goes to its original destination. So,
wow.
And apparently that was going to be an episode that was thought of in the show, but obviously never happened. And so, I mean, if maybe that probably could have been a potential final episode for season 3, but if that's the best idea they could have come up with, or like for one episode in a potential third season of Fawlty Towers, you know, I don't know. I mean, what else could they have done with it?
Yeah, really? They didn't really have done that much, unless if they were going through a situation. It's like, okay, most likely our hotel has been shut down. What are we going to do now? So maybe they would have either worked at another hotel, or maybe they could have tried going into other business until they were like, okay, you know, we can't do anything else. You know, maybe he like is like, I took the hotel for granted. I don't want to work anywhere else and stuff like that. So maybe I could see that. But yeah, I mean, if that's one of the ideas that they came up with, then maybe I could see why they decided not to go any further.
Mm-hmm. I mean, keep in mind, though, like, Fawlty Towers is a masterpiece. I don't think I'd be really infuriated if, you know, we're going for all these reboots at the minute of all these shows and everything like that. I'd be somewhat infuriated if they decide, okay, let's reboot Fawlty Towers and let's do it with like modern comedy stars. I just don't think today it would work.
Or as we mentioned in the Father Ted episode, remember that at one point they wanted to do an American remake.
Yeah.
Like, but what would have, I mean, I don't think that they could do an American remake on Fawlty Towers, because, you know, Fawlty Towers has been referenced so many times in our pop culture that if you ever think of like the disgruntled hotel owner, they would think Fawlty Towers is the first thing. I mean, you know, John Cleese has done this, you know, disgruntled hotel owner multiple times in a lot of other movies. Like, for example, have you ever seen the movie Out of Towners?
I don't think I have, no.
Okay, so this is the remake, not the original one that came out in the 60s, I think. Okay, so in the remake one, which came out in the 90s, it was Steve Martin, and he plays as a man who is going over to New York City so that he can be able to, go to this job interview. And he's not telling his wife this. This wife is played by Goldie Hawn. And so, she thinks that he's going over there, just to pitch something for his job, but he's not telling her that he's getting fired. So she decides to go along with him, saying, I want to go with you so that I can see your job proposal, for this business and stuff like that. And so it's like basically like the worst trip imaginable. Like, their flights get rerouted and, they lose their luggage and they just so happen to go into this hotel, which the maitre d' is played by John Cleese. And he's like this disgruntled hotel owner. And he is just fed up with everything that's going on, including with this couple who just messes everything up. And it's just downright hilarious. I mean, like, one of my favorite quotes was, or maybe one of my favorite moments with him is, like, going into, like, the rich person's room and trying on her stilettos while dancing to Bad Girls. And then talking to the maitre d', it's like, have you been able to pack up their luggage yet? And he's like, not yet. And he's like, if you don't do it within the next 5 minutes, I'm going to call the nurse for a lethal injection. So... So basically, it's essentially like the same character that he did in Fawlty Towers. It's just like, the disgruntled hotel owner. So when you think of disgruntled hotel owners, you think of Fawlty Towers. And a lot of other, TV shows and movies would do the same thing, in which like, we have a hotel owner, we're going to make him hate his job.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm just really glad that this has been a thing. And, in regards to, it's obviously it's very dated now. I mean, obviously all the jokes probably wouldn't have landed, keep in mind, this is part of our comedy history. And I think he should be treated with the utmost respect, because I think without Fawlty Towers, I highly doubt we would have had most of the comedy that we've had today.
Oh, absolutely not. Like, I mean, even when I didn't see Fawlty Towers... when you were first introducing me to it, it's like, this reminds me of this thing. This reminds me of that thing. So I can see the elements of, TV shows that are going on today or movies that are going on today that had, gotten their inspiration from something like Fawlty Towers.
Oh, yeah. It's been a big influence on all sorts of culture. I mean, the amount of times that people's like seen, doing the goose stepping from the Germans episode and, pretending to be like Manuel from Fawlty Towers and even being referenced to by various politicians as well, this useless waiter and things like that. Like, it's just this. It's been such a cultural phenomenon, I think, Fawlty Towers, and I highly doubt we're ever going to see a comedy like this again.
I don't think so either. One more thing that we need to point out right before we end is that I really love the fact that in every single episode of Fawlty Towers, they're always changing the signs to either like tilt the letters or spell a completely different word. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I think, tell you what, I think because what it is like they have a sign that says Fawlty Towers, and so I think... let's have a look at all the signs and let's see.
I have the signs right here. So in, let's see, we have, Gourmet Night, which is Warty Towels. The Psychiatrist has Watery Fowls. The Waldorf Salad has Flay Otters. The Kipper and the Corpse, Fatty Owls. The Anniversary, Flowery Twats. And Basil the Rat, Farty Towels. And then, the rest of the episodes, they either, like, crook out the letters or have them upside down or something. So that's actually pretty clever.
I love in the Waldorf Salad episode, they finally, like, dress up like a school child in it and have him, like, mess around with the signs and then run away. We finally identify the suspect with all these sign changes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I wonder what he's doing now.
Maybe he's the one responsible for like misspelling all the stuff, or like you know how in like fast food restaurants or like small little hotels, they always have like stay here from Monday through Friday or come check out this meal for $6.99 or something. It's like they always have like those, or even like in church signs, they always say like
basically he's like the Banksy of like signage, and he's going around the world basically changing around signs and to like other anagrams
basically. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm just really glad that there's the thing about this, like every single aspect of Fawlty Towers is funny, And that's what I love about this. They make a joke out of like absolutely everything that's going on, like the hotel business, like the people who work in the hotel, the people who stay in the hotel, and you know, even all the aspects of it around it as well, and also all the shenanigans that go around with it as well, like hiding like bets and you know, hiding money around, and you know, trying to get one ahead in like in a very you know, in a very terrible way. Like it's just it's I mean, and also that as well. Like you think there would like be someone you could like root as like, you know, the voice of like innocence in all of this, but no, everyone here has their flaws and everyone here has their faults and they're all hilarious.
Yeah, so. Like, you know, you have Basil, who clearly doesn't want to be there, and he's like the most disgruntled guy possible. Sybil, who basically takes all the credit, and every time that there's like one little inkling, she blames it on Basil to fix everything. Mm-hmm. You have Polly, who clearly doesn't want to be there. She wants to be an artist. And then you have Manuel, who's not the brightest guy, but he does try his very best to do his work, even though he doesn't speak perfect English. So, yeah, everybody has their own faults, and everybody has their own little quirks and personalities, but I think that's why a lot of people still remember them.
Yeah, interestingly enough, though, like there was actually a chef that actually worked there, but he was only in for like only a couple of episodes, and then after that, he just disappeared.
Yeah, okay. I wonder about that. I mean, yeah. was it due to the actor like not being available to do more episodes?
I don't know. Like, I'm not too sure what he was doing at the time, but yeah, like, so it's I mean, obviously the I don't know if they just treated him kind of like the same way as like they treated like you know, the people, the permanent residents of the hotel. Like the major would only turn up in certain episodes, and like, you know, obviously there was the two old ladies who also that were there as well. And I think there was like a few other people there who obviously they got like random like comedians into like be like guests of the hotel. And I think, you know, thinking about it, I mean, if they did have to do Fawlty Towers again, I mean, obviously I wouldn't say like you'd do it exactly like that, but I mean, if they did it where like you had you know, a hotel that kind of like functioned, you know, I guess you could normally, but then all the guests would like just be like comedians who are like just like hilariously annoying hotel guests. Maybe probably you could probably get away with that, but
yeah, I've heard stories about how when like major rock stars like Rolling Stones and what was it, like Metallica, were going over to hotels, they would make such a huge mess in their rooms and like call for room service to order like a whole bunch of things. I mean, it wouldn't be hilarious to know about like the hotel person's perspective about like, oh, these famous people and they're like the worst, you know, people ever to, you know, house for, but yet they provide us with, you know, good tips.
Yeah, well, exactly. So, I mean, whether Fawlty Towers could have taken advantage of that in like in another season, we'll never know.
Yeah, we'll never know. And I doubt that there'll be a remake of it anytime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now for any of those who want to watch Fawlty Towers, you can watch it on DVD, and I believe you can watch it on the BBC website, Aaron?
BBC iPlayer, yeah.
Yeah, you can watch it there. So, yeah, for anybody who's interested in checking it out, then you have the opportunity to do so.
Okay.
All right. Well, that is it for this episode of Casual Chat. So, Aaron, once again, thank you so much for coming on by.
Thank you very much.
So, yeah, well, where can people find you at?
Find me at Aaron Mehta Show, AarunMehtaShow, and you can find me on Instagram at the same tag. And also, you can find me on Tumblr. It's aaronmehta.tumblr.com.
All right. As for me, you can find me on youtube.com/oldschoollane, facebook.com/oldschoollane. I'm on Twitter at @Patty_B_Miranda. I post my podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Radio Public, all those places. New episodes of Casual Chats and Old School Lane interviews will go there first, and it'll be up in a few days on YouTube. So thank you so much for listening, everyone. Let us know in the comments below about how you first got introduced to Fawlty Towers. What were your favorite episodes? What were your least favorite episodes? Who were your favorite characters? Do you think that Fawlty Towers could work in 2020? If not, you know, what other show would you like to see come back? So thank you very much for listening, everybody. Hope to see you around soon, and take care.
Bye-bye. ¶¶